Okay. I know the sugya this morning was a little bit frustrating, probably. It's not easy. It was kind of long, a little bit off the page. But I think just trying to understand it is going to be critical in terms of understanding our sugya. And will also give us a glimpse. This will hopefully be a sugya that you'll get to at some point in Bikiyas. Doing the second parak, it really is the theme of the second parak with our Chukas Nezikin. So this is what we're going to try to do. We will, again, just quickly chazer over the piece of Gemara and the Rashi that we saw yesterday, because that is the backdrop upon which everything else rests. Then we'll try and understand the Gemara over here. Okay, we'll see where that takes us. Here we go. So again, the Gemara said, what was our Gemara trying to figure out? Our Gemara was trying to figure out what the definition of the word mechitza is. Our Mishnah says mechitza. It uses kosel later. And again, the Gemara is going to go through various options. But right now, issue number one, public enemy number one, is understanding what the word mechitza means. So says the Gemara, we said that that's actually true. Not just in the Habami, it's also in Maskana, that my mechitza guda, that a mechitza is a wall. Then we bring a raya from a Tosefta about Kilei HaKerem in order to support it. Like we learned in the Tosefta, that if you have a mechitza HaKerem shenifritza, if the mechitza in the Kerem, in the vineyard, falls down, Omer lo gedar, you tell him to put it back up. You tell him to put it back up. So what are we putting up? Obviously, something physical. That is our raya at this point, in terms of what we needed just for the raya our Gemara. That is sufficient before we get to the kasha. But that is what the Gemara wanted to prove from this Tosefta, is that mechitza, because it says mechitza sakarim, is something which is physical, and therefore it's going to be a wall. What the wall is going to be made out of, each context might be completely different. Ours might be full-fledged bricks and stones, and this one might be hoops of adafta, metal. I have no idea what it is, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What we are trying to understand is, what is Omer Lo Gedor? Right? Omer Lo. So, right? Who is saying to whom? Right? Who is the Omer? He says to him. Right? So there are obviously at least two options. Right? Either the Baal HaKerem, the one who has the vineyard, is saying to the one who has the tavua, put up the fence, lest we have intermingling and it becomes asur. Or the opposite. Or Omer Lo Gedor could be the Baal HaTavua, the one who has the wheat, says to the Baal HaKerem, put up a fence. In theory, you could have another option, which is Omer Lo would be based in or something like that, warning whoever is the person that needs to be warned. Doesn't help us in understanding who it needs to be. So Rashi right away takes sides on this. Right? Rashi tells us, Omer lo, lid baal hakerem. Lid baal hakerem. So Rashi tells us that according to Rashi, right, so Omer is the baal tvua, lo is to the Baal HaKerem, right? The person who has the wheat tells the Baal HaKerem, get that fence back up. Get that fence back up. We said maybe Rashi had that in terms of the lashon of the Tosefta, saw that in Mechitzas HaKerem. It refers to it as the vineyard, as the fence of the vineyard. But Rashi seems to also be filling in a svara. What's the svara? Says Rashi, Omer lo Baal HaKerem, Gedor ata, you. Put it up. That we should not end up in a situation in which the tvua becomes asur from your grapes. So again, if we have our field, so we said that there are two options as to how you can, again, one which is don't make intermingling. But there are two options as to how to prevent it that Chazal put in place. One option is the Geder, in which case, as Rashi is going to tell us at the end, is that each of them has the right to plant until the fence. And as far as we know, the fence could be an inch wide. Right? It's not a question. It's interesting. It does not seem to be a question of the what we would call the yanika, of the nourishment from under the ground. It's an issue on top. Right? Because they shouldn't intermingle. As long as it's high enough, nothing's going to sneak over the top. All is good. Alternatively, if they don't want to do that, they can have a space in between, space of Dalai Amos. What does the space of Dalai Amos do? Presumably, what that does is that there's only a certain amount the grapes are going to move. So as long as it's spread out that far, then you don't have to be concerned. If it ends up that they intermingle, it will become usur. It will become usur. But this harchaka that Chazal put in place to prevent any possibility is based on what's normal. Normal, again, I don't know if anybody here grows grapes. Apparently, that it's not, you know, Dalai Amos is about 6 feet. That's pretty far that they're gonna travel. Okay? So the only situation in which you're gonna have a potential problem is in this case, because in this case, if the fence falls down, so now they're right up against each other. Because they did it beheter. They did it beheter. So what's the svara? Sounds like the svara that Rashi is saying is that, and again, this is going to be the key critical question that we're going to have to ask in a bunch of the cases that we're going to see, which is, who is the mazik and who is the nizak? Right? Mazik is the damager, nizak is the damagee, the one who's being damaged. Right? So in this case, it seems to be that what Rashi is saying is that the balatua saying to balakir, You're the damager. Why are you the damager? Because as the Svarak the Ramban told us, that we saw yesterday, right? Which is that this guy says, I'm staying in my own space. I'm minding my own business. You can do what you want in your space, but you are going me from your tchum, as he put it, to my tchum. You are the active participant, and that is why it's going to be problematic. Good? Now this issue of damager, damagee, who is obligated and what, is really a lot of what the second parak is about, and what we started seeing with the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Hei yesterday. So what did that Mishnah that we saw yesterday tell us? What did that Mishnah on Daf Chaf Hei tell us? It says that you can't plant a tree, right, near your neighbor's pit. That was the Mishnah Chaf Hei Mabeis. Why can't you plant a tree near your neighbor's pit? Again, the pit we're assuming is more like a cistern, which is significant to keep the walls in good shape. Is it that because we're afraid that the roots are going to damage the walls of the pit? Meaning, who is the damager? The tree. And it seems very similar to this case. Right? Because the tree, if you plug in the Ramban's svara again, you'll say, because the tree is the one that's leaving its space and going into the cistern is not going anywhere. Those walls are stationary. They're not moving. The tree roots, those are moving. So why is it only 25 amos? So again, Chazal or Mishayar, what the normal amount is. What we saw at the very end yesterday, that Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. And Rabbi Yossi says that you are allowed to put it there. Right? Even if the boar was first, he's allowed to plant his tree. Why? Shezeh chofer b'sof shalo, v'zeh notaya b'sof shalo. Right, zeh chofer b'sof shalo. The guy with the pit, he's digging in his property. And the guy who is planting the tree is zeh notaya b'sof shalo. What does Rabbi Yossi hold? What's Rabbi Yossi holding? So we're going to try to understand. What is the Shita Rabbi Yossi? Right? These are the words. He gives us a little bit of an explanation. And obviously, a very similar svara you can presumably apply in many other cases, right? He seems to basically be saying, "I can do what I want in my, I can do what I want to my property." Oh. So, perhaps again, the most famous case of Harfakas Nezikin, right, is the case of the Chardo. So, what's going on with the Chardo? What's going on with the Chardo? What's going on with the mustard and the bees? Let's see this. So the case is brought down in the Mishnah we saw on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. That we saw at the end yesterday, that we said, the Tanakhama said that you have to be marchig es achardol min hadavorim. You have to move away the mustard from the bees. And Rabbi Yossi was matir. In the case of the chardol, who is the mazik? Who is the mazik? So we have to understand, well, what's the issue? What's the issue? What are we concerned about? So I mentioned yesterday outside, we'll provide a chance to see inside. If you look at Rashi, I'm not to be chesim and aleph. Towards the bottom. Vesar chardo min advorim, and you have to distance the mustard from the bees. She'ochlin es achardal, because they eat the mustard. Who's they?
The bees, good.
Umechadeh es piyem, it sharpens their mouth, presumably not physically sharpens, but tastes, right? It puts a sharp taste in their mouth. Ve'ocheles es devash she'lahen. And then it comes back, and it eats its own honey. We said a different svara yesterday from the Rambam and the Perush HaMishnayos that it has an adverse effect on the taste because the taste comes from the pollen and the nectar. So who is, if we have the chardo and the devorim, we have the chardo, the mustard, and the devorim, who is the mazik and who is the nizak? Who is the damager and who is the damagee?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like right now the bees are the damager. The bees are damaged. The mustard is damaged.
Right? The chardal, and again, for two reasons, I think this is a point that's sometimes hard for us to wrap our minds around. Right? The chardal is the mazik. Devorim, which again, would either mean the devorim themselves or the bala devorim, is the person, not physically the bees, but the person who owns the bees and the honey, is being damaged. Now, why is it sometimes hard for us to wrap our minds around? For two reasons. The first reason is because, if anybody's ever gotten stung by a bee, right, I think we naturally associate bees with being mazikim. But that doesn't have to be true. I think the other reason why is because if you compare it to the other cases, in the other cases that we've had until now, it is the side that's moving that is the mazik, right? The grapes are growing outward, and they're the mazik. The tree roots, in this case, are growing outwards. They are the mazik. Here, the bees are flying, right? If you take, again, a similar case, take the exact same thing, pretend for a moment that the tefua is this side is chardal and this side is devorim. Right, the bees are flying over here, the same way the vines are going over here, and yet we're categorizing as who is losing out. The bala chardal doesn't seem to be complaining. In general, the owners of fruits and things that blossom like bees. Bees are a positive. They cross-pollinate. They help with the development of crops. So the fact, again, normally speaking, is the fact that the bees are going to the chardol does not damage the chardol in any way. It creates this negative taste in the bees that impacts the honey. Either it turns on its honey, or the honey tastes bad. But I think that's why we conceptually it's a little bit harder. Because now, damager and damagee does not solely have to do with which one is the, we'll call it active versus passive. I'm not saying it's not a chiddush, but that clearly emerges from here, which is why the Tanakhama says in the Mishnah Daf Chaf Hayom and Aleph, what was the lashon? You read it very carefully. Marchigin es hachardal min hadvorim. You have to distance the mustard from the bees. The same way you have to distance the tree from the boar. Meaning the chachamim, who seem to say, and we'll explain this point better hopefully soon, the chachamim who seem to say that it is the responsibility of the one who is the mazik to create some sort of distance, will say here that you can't, if you know that this guy has beehives, even though they can fly, again, there's a certain distance that Chazal said at a certain point, it's his problem. But for however far it's going to be, whether it's 25 miles, 50 miles, whatever it is, the chardal is damaging simply by being there. Apparently it's too enticing for the bees not to chop some chardal, but it has a negative impact. So that's crucial point number one. When you're looking at the chardal sugya, is that it is different. The fact that you think it, that you assume, you know, thought it being different, is because it is different. But in the end, it still comes to the same point. Now again, it complicates the Ramban's svara, right? The Ramban, if his whole svara was about which one is moving, so not so simple in this case. So again, sometimes you have to tweak. And the Ramban was saying it in our case. In our case, it worked well. Yeah, Sheila.
How do you see this Rashi that the bees are getting damaged?
Because it's not the bees are not getting damaged. Again, it's the owner of the bees that get damaged. Because the owner of the bees owns the honey. If the bees consume their honey, then he has less honey to sell. Right? Presumably, he's not, you know, just lishma trying to provide honey for everybody for Rosh Hashanah. He's some sort of business, or he's using it for himself. He will have less honey because the bees are now eating it. Again, maybe it's easier to understand the flip side, which is that the other explanation, which is what we saw from the Rambam and Perisha Mishnayis, which is that the taste of the honey, which is affected by the flowers that it ate from, is going to be different. It's going to almost spoil the honey. It happens that the honey doesn't spoil. Everybody knows that. Honey doesn't spoil. You can use your honey from last year, Rosh Hashanah. It's still good. If it gets hard, just run it under warm water, and it will soften up again, and doesn't spoil. Doesn't need an expiration date, as long as there are no additives. Oh, good? Fine. That's just the beginning. But again, I think that's the first conceptual point that we need to make sure we understand. So what is this machlokas? What is this machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan all about? So again, this is part, again, it's a much longer sugya. I just tried to grab a few lines to help us understand. This is what the Gemara Daf Yud Ches is analyzing. Again, it's taking the cases from Chaf Hei, those Mishnayos, and plugging them in earlier. But again, it's really the theme of the parable. So again, here, Rava had a chiddush, which was not in the Makoros, but I filled it in for you, right? Rava had a chiddush that you're allowed to be someich, right? That you're allowed to put, whatever you need near the board. And the Gemara is trying to, that you're not allowed to put something which is, you're allowed to put your thing, but if you have something which is a mazik, then you can't be someich into the property of somebody else. Right? Which again, in line with that same kind of thinking of the Ramban, which I think to us is intuitive. Right? I have a responsibility to my neighbors. Oh. So Toshima, the bottom of the chesem and aleph. Toshima, marchikin es ha-mishra min ha-yarek. You have to distance the mishra from vegetables. What is the mishra? So Rashi says, es ha-mishra, mayim jeshurin boz ha-pishtot. So if you take flax, you have to soak it. What happens after you soak it? I don't think you eat it. I think you weed with it, right? I don't think it's flax food. I don't know. You eat flax. Weed, huh?
Flax seed is a thing. It's
Flaxseed's a thing?
But I think also...
It's probably only been a thing like the last 10 years, right? That kind of food?
It's
like, yeah, one of those. I don't know. I'm not sure what you're doing with the flax. Whatever you need to do with the flax, make it pishta, right?
You could also make it later.
Okay. So whatever usages you have, you first have to soak it. You first have to soak it. But that water, I guess, absorbs whatever it is, whatever the reason is you need to soak it. So whatever is soaked out is now in the water, and that water is potentially going to damage if there are vegetables growing nearby. We're going to just take all that as a fact. Okay? Well, we're going to accept that for the moment. So you're marking the mission of the earth as accretion of Solomon, and the accretion, which is a leak from the onions. Okay, I don't know exactly what. Yeah, they're going to damage each other somehow. And you distance the chardal, the mustard from the dvorim. So Gemara, for its purposes, says what? Taima the yerek. So why am I not allowed to put the mishra at the edge of my property? Only because the other guy has yerek there. Haleka yerek somit. But Rava said that you have a responsibility as a neighbor not to put anything which could potentially damage the other guy, even if it's not going to damage right now. It's, you have to look towards the future when it comes to your responsibilities with your neighbor. So if it's true that you only have to be marking it, it doesn't say you have to mark it from your border. So you see Rava's incorrect. Kasha Rava. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Says the Gemara. No. Whoa. Hileka Yerek Nami Lo Samit. No, even if there was no yerek, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. Why is the Mishnah formulated in this way? There's an extra chiddush. V'hokamash malon dehanu kashu ahadoti. Wow. This is teaching us that they are bad. It's a bad shidduch. They are bad. They're bad for each other. Okay. Ihape. If that's the only reason, aim a safe, then what are you going to do with the safe for our case? Rabbi Yossi Matir Bechardol, Yibdeisha Yachal Omer, Achad Omer, Yachin Chardol Chavim Devaroi, Harachin Devarofavim Chardoloi, Shabos Ochlos, Ligluge Chardoloi. Oh! So says the Gemara, what are you going to do about the case of the Devora? So the Gemara throws in a very interesting svara here. Right? We understand that the chardal damages the devorim. Rabbi Yossi can say, but we have equal responsibilities. Your bees are damaging, you know, I said before, and that's not the mitzvah so much, right? It's usually not bad, but maybe it is. For my mustard is negatively impacted by your swarms of bees. My ligluge chardaloy, they're going to eat it all. They're eating too much. Why? I don't know. Right, Rashi says, Aja, the only thing is called the Tommy to go right. So you're going to say, move away your mustard, and it's Mazik. Shalom Mazik, after Gospel. Harte God, God, go around them in Kardloy, Shabbat, and Mazik. Oh, we're mutual Mazikim. That would change the whole equation. Right? Because if the Svar is that the responsibility is on the Mazik, if the responsibility is on the Mazik, so we can recategorize who is the mazik. If I can turn back to you and say, you're the mazik, not me, that changes the whole picture. That changes the whole picture. So maybe we could say like that, atama beis, v'ilo, v'idlo, samech, if they're not next to each other, how can you have such a situation? What does that mean? V'ilo, samech, Rashi says, flipping it back as a kasha and rabba, if you're not allowed to put it next to each other, I feel b'she'enchem davar anizo b'sei b'sei d'eil b'shnei mazikinei hegrish v'adus b'chav v'na v'risha v'chavir ma'akev olav. Says the Gemara, how do you end up, if it's true, if this svar is true, that Rabbi Yossi is going to say, you can flip around and say, oh, you're the mazik, so you have to put distance, that's, then how do you ever end up with the case when they're next to each other? Why? Because if what Rava's din is true, so then as soon as your thing is a mazik, which now is either one, the devorim or the chardal, so you're never going to end up with it next to each other if Rava's din is true, then you have to distance it. So it's a kasha. On Rava, you still see that even according to this svara of Rabbi Yossi, again, if you're not following every detail, it's not critical at this point, this gives background to what we need to get to, then That's going to tell us that then that's a kasha on Rava, because how do they ever end up next to each other? So the Gemara comes up with a solution. The Gemara says we're talking about a case, right?
Bilakuach. Bilokei, I'm sorry. Amarapa Bilokei. We're talking about a buyer. What does that mean? Oh, Rashi says, Akar Shazar Zem Mishav Zosadeir. Ozan Shemchad, I already planted my mustard. But then, Machar Metzosel Akar Bilokei, I'm sorry, Shem Miracle, Hebet Vorer. This was all one big field. And I own the whole thing. So I can plant whatever I want within my field for sure. So I planted chardel all the way up to this line that didn't exist. Now I sell you the rest. Oh, so I can't tell you, you have to move them now. You already were allowed to put them there. So now the question is, what is the alternative responsibility for the other person? Oh, if that's true, you go get my time to Rabbana. If we talk about Lokeach, then everybody's going to agree. The Rabbanan aren't going to say, oh, now you have to move your mustard that's already there. No. You know when you purchased it that the guy's mustard was there. You knew that already. So even going to Rabbanan, it's not going to work. Though my time to Milsi, I feel Mishav Yerkanami should also argue by the air case. Amar Rabbanan, this is the critical part for us. Kasavi Rabbanan Alamazik La'arikasat. There's a different fundamental machlokas here. The main machlokas here is whose responsibility is it to move? Whose responsibility is it to, not to move, I'm sorry, so let's say it differently. Whose responsibility is it to avoid damage? The Rabbanan say it is the responsibility of the potential mazik. If I own something which is potentially going to damage you, I have to remove the damager. Much more so than we thought all along. Right? The grape guy is the damager. He has to make sure that the grapes aren't going to damage. The Bala Chardol, also, again, even though we don't intuit it that way, he's the mazik. So he has to be marking. So what does Rabbi Yossi hold? So Rabbi Yossi holds this. How do we summarize this line? Says the Gemara Mechlal, again the Gemara gives the more details, but this is the maskan of the Gemara, even though it's not the end of the Gemara. Mechlal, Jebiosi Sarah Anizra Lahar Hekas Has. That is the crux of the machlokas here. Whose responsibility is it to avoid damage? Is it the one who damages, or it is the one who is being damaged? And again, no, let's hold off on that, actually. Okay? That's what comes out of this Gemara. It comes up numerous times in this parasha. And the question is what's the svara of Rav Yossi? Right? I think we understand the svara of the Rabbanan. Right? I think that's where we were leaning yesterday. If I am the damager, it's almost like, you know, if I have a... Again, it's going to be a sugya later on, but we'll just pretend that, just because I think it just helps as a mushroom. But if I know that I have an animal that can escape and damage people, so I have to keep the animal in check. It's a potential mazik. Again, it's a lot of the later prakim. But I think we naturally are drawn, and that's what we understood yesterday in Rashi also, with understanding, what right do I have to damage you? I'm just minding my own business. I'm being passive. So if you're going to go and put in a damager, it's on you. But Rabbi Yossi says no. Yes, David.
In gambling, I was wondering if there any reason that we could say that there is some damage being done to the person who wants to build the flax pit, the other person already built whatever planted vegetables on the other side of the wall. Like, could you say that, like, could you extend Rabbi Yossi's argument about Cardinal and
I'm not 100% sure what you mean. Meaning, right. Is this become a general rule that if you have something which is a mazik or something, or you're putting yourself in a situation which you can be damaged, whose responsibility is it to? Is it my responsibility to avoid damage according to BOC, even in not the five or six cases listed here?
I should have said it better.
If that's what you're saying, the answer is probably yes. But, again, the chiddush of these cases is that Chazal gave particular instructions of what you have to do. Right? I might have said, you know, I have my boar here, and I you know, maybe I have to do it 10 feet away, 25 feet away. So, again, Chazal gave instructions. I think that's what the chiddush is here. But again, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's very different than according to the Chachamim, right? There's 25 amos shear of the roots from the cistern are meaningless, according to Rabbi Yossi. Right? He says it explicitly. Even if the boar was there first, I can plant right next to it. It's your problem.
So, okay, fine.
Yeah?
I guess it doesn't kind of answer the question, but if there's no, we can't say that there's any damage being done if one person's prevented from building that pit. They want,
is not being able to use my chutzah, my field that I want to use it considered to be damaged? So it seems like not. We will have similar svaras in slightly different contexts later on. It seems like not. So what's the svar for Biosi? Yeah.
If we're working with this line, and this Gemara seems to be saying that, like, what is the responsibility for a nizik? There's no responsibility. It means just a simple way of saying, like, do what you need to do to protect yourself.
And you have no tainas. Yeah. That's what it's saying. Yeah, 100%, right? We're not saying, I don't think we're saying, right? That would be a huge chiddush to say, that the nizak has to distance himself. Right? It's if you want to be protected, distance yourself, because we're not going to compensate you if you're damaged. Right? Don't come fetching to us that your honey tastes bad. If you could have moved your stuff, move your bees from your chardol, to think that you're obligated to make sure that this guy is a mazik me, that would be a bigger finish. I don't think we're saying that. You think we're saying that?
No, I mean, you're discussing this in Seder. It doesn't matter. Probably really doesn't match up really. I mean, with the Donnie's question, but in the case of, let's say, Yerek and the flax water,
he doesn't line. That's the Gemara's kasha. Yeah, he doesn't line up perfectly.
He says you have to force the guy. By the boar case, we never say you have to.
Yeah, you're right. You need the rest of the 2 to 3 block. The Gemara is going to go through all the different scenarios and how Rabbi Yossi deal with them. There may be some that have unique aspects to them.
It's because, like, the tree, if they chop it down,
the what?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to find a difference between the two cases. It's because the tree has actually taken
it down. I mean, we could try to go through it, but again, the Gemara at the bottom of the page here and onto the next Amud is trying to figure that out. What's the difference between the Mishra and the Yerek and the other cases? Yeah, in Echonami. But as a rule, it might have to do with damaging each other, but there are multiple factors. Oh, but what's the Svar of Rabbi Yossi? It's not so simple. It's not so simple. So, Rabbi Yossi is Moda. Rabbi Yossi agree. So flip to the Gemara. We need to get 2 points out of the Gemara. Flip to the Gemara of Hey and Rebbe's. And two important points, one which will help with the Svara and one that's necessary for our Sugya, come out of the Gemara of Hey and Rebbe's. Yeah.
Just curious, what's the problem with Rabbi Yossi's Svara?
What is it? Meaning, why should it be the response? If I know that I have a damage, a potential damager in my rishus, I understand the svara to say that I have a responsibility, a neighborly responsibility, to make sure I don't damage you. How does a Yossi respond to that?
But isn't it the rabbanan adding responsibility, and the rishus says there just isn't one? So wouldn't it be under rabbanan more to say if you're going to add the responsibility, you need more
than
the other one?
I think if you can articulate it clearly, then you can. So what's the pshat? Why am I not respond? I know that by putting this here, I'm going to cause you damage. Why is that? Why is that not part of my? And how far does it go?
It's potential damage. It hasn't happened yet. And the point is that, like, how far does my potential damage have to be responsible for? And so the point is, the Rabbanan are saying you have to be responsible a certain amount, and the Rabbi Yossi is saying, like, no, you just don't need the potential. It's not like,
right,
it's not.
What you're saying is true. So how far does that go? Meaning,
that's my focus.
This is my field.
Yeah.
This is your field. I have a gun. I can shoot whatever I want in my field, right? And right there, it's into your field.
Yeah.
Am I responsible for that damage?
You're definitely responsible, but
why?
You have to put up.
Why?
You're damaging things.
Why?
So my point is, but you have to put up a wall when you start shooting your gun so your bullets don't go on the other field.
No, that's not what we're talking about. Now, let's make sure that we're clear. There are certain cases where they're abundant and said you have to do certain things in order to avoid damage. Yes. Yes. But there are, but he seems to be saying it as a rule, meaning whose responsibility is it if there's going to be damage? Rabbi and I are getting involved. Let's say Rabbi Yossi would just say that. Rabbi Yossi could have answered, say, you guys do what you want and then fight it out in Beis Din. That would have been acceptable. But Rabbi Yossi went further than that. He went and said, do whatever you want, and if damage takes place, don't come to Beis Din because we're going to shut you up and throw you out. It's a little bit more than that. So you have to understand it a little bit more. That's what I'm trying to get at. What he's saying is you can do what you want in your chutz, in your field. But we need to define that a little bit. So the Gemara in the Pehuda Beis, right after that Mishnah, a few lines down, says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Hava Mishavor Kodemus Lo Ilon Lo Yinkos. Even if the boar was there first, and then I picked the tree later, and the tree is going to damage. I don't know if it's a Vadai. Oh, but there's enough that Chachamim were concerned that he put this 25 on a sheer place. You don't have to do it. Just have over social. Just put on tap social. I'm going to be our spoil. Point number one. Halacha Rabbi Yossi. That's important. We paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Anizav laharchik es atzma. The implications of that we'll get back to. That's point number one. For our purposes right now, the second point is the more critical. Amar Ravashi, ki avon de Rav Kahana, Rashi, when we were at the house of Rav Kahana, havarinam, we said, modi Rav Yossi begira dide. Now, we'll explain what those words mean in a second. But in terms of the, conceptually what we're starting with, whenever you have a rule, and then the Gemara comes along and says that he's modi in that case, that understanding that case is now the critical part of figuring out the svara. Because if there's a case in which he agrees, then he's not saying, Chachamim, you're off your rocker. Because there are cases where I'm going to agree that it's the Mazik's problem. We've now, by saying Moda, now we've defined more closely where the area of contention is, and then we have to come up with a svar. Oh. So Rabbi Yossi agrees, the Giri, what is Giri? So we have the Gemara tell the Giri, Be'ina, the Sitna, he fired an arrow into the eye of the Satan. Here is an arrow. An arrow. When it comes to his arrow, in my example, it might be his bullet, right? Same concept. Rabbi Yossi is going to agree that the Nizak does not have free reign. What does it mean and what's the pshat? So let's see Rashi. Sub Rashi, Begira Delay. Heicha Demati Layazeka Mitoch Yadav Shelmazik. Okay, Rashi gave us a definition. When the damage comes from the hand of the Mazik, Rabbi Yossi is going to agree. So when I shoot my arrow, right, if I go over and I punch you in the face, so the damage has come from the hand of the Mazik. But this is further removed. Now Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying, the Gemara seems to be addressing this case. I'm being chover b'sof shali. I'm just shooting an arrow at you, but I'm in my property. It's your problem. I'm allowed to do whatever I want in my field. So Rabbi Yossi says, no. It's coming directly from your hand. The arrow, the inertia, the force comes directly from my hand. That's me damaging. That I'm not allowed to do. That I'm not allowed to do. Yeah, he Darina Abayis Galia brings an example from Abayis Galia, which we know from the first Kosmos is the last parak of Baba Metziah. Hanu Meitrei Chadai Yerloi. There were two people. One lived above the Chadai Tatoi. One lived below. If this Mazivan opened up a a gutter, right? It's with the water to flow up, the water to flow out. The water fell down, the tassoy on the bottom guy. Because you know who the other mamash on top of him and it comes directly from Sam's, if he just moved it right now, Karli Giri delay, he caused it. If there's a pause, and I moved it, then there's a break, then it's not called Giri delay. So what's Rabbi Yossi telling us? I can do whatever I want in my chatzer, and it's your problem as long as it is not direct damage. As long as it's not direct damage. Wait, but if I put my bees there, and you know, and you're putting your chatzer on my bees, isn't that direct damage? Answer is no. Is it likely damage? Could be. Direct? Then already I'm allowed to do my property what I want. Now you're entitled to do what you want in your own property if it does not directly impact your neighbor. Why? Because once it isn't direct, then he has the ability to move. He has, meaning the Nizak, Rabbi Yossi says, we're not trying to throw the Nizak under the bus. But the Nizak has to, once he has the ability to move himself out of the way, then it's his problem. When you're standing there right there, I'm sure there's nothing you can do. You can try to duck, but fundamentally, I'm aiming at you. You can't protect yourself. But once it's something where there is some sort of delay, it is going to take time for the roots to grow. It's going to take time for the bees to travel to the mustard. Now I can figure out what I want to do. I have the right to do whatever I want in my chatzer, as long as you have the capability of protecting yourself from this particular thing. Obviously, I can build a fortress and always protect them. That you're not required to. But right now, when I see that there is potential for damage, can I protect myself? Rabbi Yossi says, as long as the answer to that question is yes, then it's the Nizak's problem. Why? Because I'm allowed to do what I want in my property. Right? There's a flip side. As much as we might think that it makes sense that I have to be responsible for that damage you, I also have the right to use my chatzer in the way that I want to. So what is the limitation on that? Rabbi Yossi says the limitation is that you have to have the ability to protect yourself. If you don't have the ability to protect yourself, then I am considered to be a direct damager, and I am going to be chayav for that. And because otherwise, your presence is limiting my ownership. That's the way that Rabbi Yossi looks at it. The Chachamim say no. The Chachamim say you have the right to do what you want in your property, but built into that right is certain limitations. The limitations that were built in by the Torah are that, again, if you damage somebody else, you are obligated for that. I can protect myself. He's not required to do that. You're the active one. You're the one who's encroaching on my territory. That is your problem. Good? Is that a little clearer? Good, yes, Ailey.
Yeah, it sounds like, maybe I missed something, but it sounds like you're saying that this applies to all the cases of commission.
Let's assume that. Let's assume that it does.
Even though Rabbi Yossi only really talks about the mustard case.
Again, Rabbi Yossi talks about the mustard case. He talks about the tree case, right? That's explicit. So I'm trying to use those as the primary examples. The other ones, the Gemara is going to discuss whether it applies or not. But if it doesn't, it's for external reasons, specific to those cases. But fundamentally, the principle of Rabbi Yossi is al nizak laharchik es atzmo. And this seems to be what the issue is that, yeah, what are we focusing on more? As long, again, with the starting point, as long as the Nizak has the ability to protect himself, so is the fact that the Nizak's presence going to limit my ownership, is that something that is the problem of the Nizak? That's what Rabbi Yossi says. And the Chachamim say, no, that's part of the definition of the ownership that the Torah gave. Let's get back to the first point that the Gemara said about Chaf Hengu Beis. What did we say? That halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. That's a little problematic for us. Why is that problematic for us? Go back to Rashi and Daf Beis now. We were so satisfied with Rashi saying Omer is the Baal Tvua, telling the Baal HaKerem to put it up. Why is the Baal HaKerem required to put it up? Rashi told us, Shelo Yasu Gifanecha as Tvuasi. Right? That your grapes are going to creep out and are going to damage my tefua. Hold on. What happened to Alanizah Baharvi Gazasma? Right? We thought that's where it was good, because yeah, it makes sense. He's the active damager, it's his problem. Not so simple anymore. We have a machlokes about this very issue in the second parak. And the Gemara tells us how we paskin. We paskin like Reb Yossi. So if we paskin like Reb Yossi, the achrayis to be the wall, to build the wall, should be on the Baal HaTvua. And now, again, this isn't true, so I'm a little nervous to write this down, but we'll do it anyway. Right? If it was according to Reb Yossi, not that Reb Yossi actually says this, but theoretically, right? If according to Reb Yossi, this should be the opposite. It should be the Baal HaKerem telling the Baal HaTvua, put up the fence! Put up the fence! Oh. So what's the pshat? You guys have a chance to get Tosfos and Tafis of it all? Okay. So, let's see the beginning of Tosfos. We're not going to see the whole Tosfos, we're going to finish it tomorrow. So Tosfos says, Omer lo gedor. Omer lo gedor. Perush, Baal HaKerem. Tosfos learns like Rashi. You're telling the Baal HaKerem, right, this way. Rashi, now we can put Tosfos as well. They're both learning the same way. Why? So obviously this is one of those cases where if you didn't have the Bach, you probably would have still made the same edit that the Bach did, right? Do Hamazik. Because he is the Mazik. Why? The Arba Hamashabu Laharti Kubishwila Vodas Akarem. Kidami Rakshani Lakamon. Let's hold off on those words for the moment. Because I don't know, we'll explain them probably tomorrow. The next word that Tosfos says, though, relate to our point. Vafilu Reb Yossi Dekam Lekaman. Oh, wait, even according to Reb Yossi. Oh, we know Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi holds. Alamiza Garmin Gazatva. So even according to Reb Yossi Dekam Lekaman, Alamiza Garmin Gazatva. Ha'amar Vash Lekaman, Modi Reb Yossi Begire Delay. Says Tosfos, there's no problem. Reb Yossi holds that the Mazik is going to be responsible if it's giri delay. Sweeting, what's Tosfos saying?
Why are you telling arrows?
Right, I mean, Tosfos is saying that the reason that this is true is because, I mean, this, sorry. Tosfos is saying that this is true even according to Reb Yossi. Our kasha was, Rashi seems to be saying, against Reb Yossi. And why would Rashi be going, Shelo Kalacha? Why is he not saying that way? So says Tosfos, no problem. Reb Yossi agrees that it's giri delay. How on earth is giri delay? That was a giri delay. A giri delay says the arrow is straight. How long does it take for the they have to grow, right? That's the Gemara we saw that Rashi tells about from base 1/200. The truth is that in terms of the grapes, they might have to grow a third of their growth for the grapes also to come out. So there's This is Geary delay. If this is Geary delay, what's not Geary delay? So the root's going 25 amos, that's not Geary delay? That's not Geary delay? And wouldn't this have been a pretty important point for Rashi to have mentioned? And again, to his credit, Tosos did not ask this on Rashi. He didn't get Rashi involved. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? Well, so the answer is the line that we skipped in Tosos. And this is what, if you have a chance, you can look at it. It's in the Maharam. It explains this way, but you have to say this in Tosos. Tosos says, in that line in between that we didn't read, the right the Amazik, the Arba Amos, the heart of the Vishwa Avoda Sakharim, that the four Amos in the around the vineyard are for working the vineyard. What's he talking about? Saying like this. And it's based on a Gemara later on. The four Amos over here are not to make sure that the Kerem and the Tevuah don't overlap. The reason they need four Amos around a vineyard is because you need heavy machinery in order to work a vineyard. You need heavy machinery in order to work a vineyard. In farming, the Chazal understood that in order to properly work the vineyard, the equipment is going to extend up to four Amos around the Kerem. And therefore, the reason for the distance between the fields is not because of Kilayim. It's not because of Kilayim. Why is the distance between the fields? The distance between the Kerem and the Tevuah is to make sure there is room for the farming equipment to move without damaging the Tevuah. Because if you're right next to me, and there's no fence there, then my farming equipment is inevitably going to go into your wheat field and squash your wheat. Therefore, Chazal mandated that you have four amos around it. It has nothing to do with Kilayim. It's making sure that the work of the Kerem will not damage its Tevuah. Once that is true, the Kerem includes those four amos. If that is the Kerem and the Tevuah grows there, we now... Oh, but what, again, now that this is all true, then this becomes part of the Kerem. If for some reason now there is less distance between them, we have a Kilayim concern. Because maybe, again, the four Amos was not designed to prevent Kilayim. But once, for some reason, there is less space, there was a wall, there was something, and now they're going to be overlapping more, now we're already getting concerned about Kilayim. So Tosfos says, even if there is a reason for the Sakarim, right? Who is the damager? It's the Bala Karim. Why? Because of his equipment. Right? Because of his equipment that will possibly extend the field. So who should have the distance? So if we pass them like Rabbi Yossi, it still should be on the Bala Tevuah, right? Because he's the one who's getting damaged. Ah, it says Tosfos. The damage that takes place when I, put it in our terms, drive my tractor over your wheat, what kind of damage is that? That's Geary delay. So Tosfos, by learning a different pshat in the din and saying it as with Avodas HaKerem, is able to get out of this problem and say, oh, because of Avodas HaKerem, then we're concerned about the machinery squashing the Tevuah. That is Geary delay. That is Geary delay, and that's why the din is true. What does that do? What does that do for us, for Rashi? I don't know. I'll have to try and figure that out. Again, according to Rashi, Rashi's not going to learn that it's about Avodah Zakarim. He didn't say anything about Avodah Zakarim. Then how is this going to be Geary delay? So we'll see Mir Tashem tomorrow. There's a Rambam that seems to try and that same Rambam actually that we saw yesterday. The other half of the Rambam seems to be the beginnings of a Yishuv for Rashi. But again, now that we have that the sugya on Yud Ches and on Chafei, a much better understanding of what Tosfos and Rashi are dealing with, and the full extent of whether it's Giri delay.